Welcome in to Games Galore 29. Happy New Year's to all. We've been off for a couple of weeks, but we are back now. We've got the college football finals coming up on Monday night at the new Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta. Alabama against Georgia. Right now, most books are at 4 with a total of 45. And the Bulldogs on the money line in the plus 165 neighborhood. Instant classic the other night. Georgia and Oklahoma. Unbelievable football game. Lincoln Riley's play calling in the first half was just incredible. However, he made that knucklehead move of a squib kick that was so costly. I remember in a Falcons-Bears game many years ago, 6 or 7 of them, where the Bears went ahead either by 1 or 2 with 8 seconds left. And that was the shortest amount of time I'd ever seen for just one play to get in field goal range. And it was either Matt Ryan going to Roddy White or Julio for like a 30-yard gain or 35-yard gain where they took off 7 seconds and they got like, you know, Matt Bryant 58-ish yard field goal to win it. This was 6 seconds. And that squib kick was just so bad, so dumb.
Really
and
dumb.
Georgia gets one play, and they get that field goal. The game goes to overtime, and you could really say that was maybe the difference in the game. Now, what was equally as dumb by Kirby, and I'm not second-guessing. I was first-guessing. I said it right there at the very moment. They had a third down stop. Oklahoma was going to punt. But, I mean, they were backed up, good ways. Georgia had all 3 timeouts, and for some dumbass reason, Kirby took his timeout, his first timeout with 3.5 minutes left, as if getting the ball back with 3 minutes left and 3 timeouts, you know, did not give them enough time. As it worked out, you know, Georgia scored with 55 seconds left. Had they not used that timeout, Oklahoma would have only had, you know, 25-ish seconds to work with. Now, it worked out okay. Georgia got a stop. Oklahoma did not score. And it went to overtime. Anyhow, double OT thriller. That game, you know, gets the best game of the bowl season easily. Probably one of the top 10 games I've ever watched all time, if not top 5.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a thriller, man.
Yeah.
Back and forth. Comebacks, offense, plenty of deep. Roquan was so good in the second half for Georgia. Made himself a lot of money. The other great bowl games, man, Wake and A&M was great. Wake wins 55-52. Army, San Diego State, didn't work out for me. I hated it. But Army 42-35 or San Diego State, that was a great one. TCU pulls another comeback at the Alamo Bowl. It was, I believe, 31-0 with Oregon. A few years ago, an Oregon's quarterback got hurt. It was the transfer from Eastern Washington, whose name is eluding me at the moment. I had Oregon that day, and I completely had quit paying attention to it and started watching the UFC prelims. In fact, I think it was the night that McGregor was fighting. I think he was fighting Aldo that night, if I remember correct. But and I got to the bar to watch the UFC pay-per-view, and I'm like, what? Oregon TCU's in overtime? Well, Stanford was up on them 21-3, and TCU rallied for a 39-37 win. But yet again, Stanford covers for me, even though they lost outright, just like happened for me in the USC game. Stanford was good for me down the stretch. Good to me, I'm sorry, down the stretch. UCF Auburn was another really good game. UCF Texas Tech was a wild game. I got a miracle over. But the over was always in the equation because it was a potential overtime the whole way. That game in Kentucky-Northwestern featured some of the worst coaching I've ever seen. The offensive coordinator for USF was so bad. He took the ball out of Quentin Flowers' hands on 2 different fourth downs. There was one goal-to-goal opportunity where Flowers just handed it off 4 times in a row. Didn't even get to even try to run it or pass it. Quentin Flowers was amazing in that game, capping a great collegiate career. Now, I've always been a huge fan of Pat Fitzgerald, and I will say he does have as much job security as anybody in America, and so that's what gave him the balls to make those calls, but they were so stupid. I don't know what in the world he was doing. First off, you've got your You know, your best running back in school history in Jackson, and they, you know, they didn't give it to him on two different fourth and ones. And why he went for it on fourth and one, I mean, as you, many of you know, from if you listen loyally, Northwestern was my favorite play in the bowl season. Now, I'm not a big excuses guy, but my gosh, when you're winning as quarterback in school history, tears his ACL in the first quarter. I had that happen to me with the FIU game as well. But the backup for Northwestern was a lot better than FIU's backup.
It'd be a fun game to watch if it wasn't so infuriating, right?
Yeah, and, like, and look, I was big on Northwestern at 7. I had actually bought it to 6.5 for just small part, a small percentage of the money I had on it. And then coming up toward game time, I got a little nervous, and Kentucky had gone to 8.5, and I got a little Kentucky. So even if it had hit on 7, because they were up 24-17 when Fitzgerald went for it on his own 39 on fourth and a long one, and what he was doing there, I have absolutely no idea. And then the play call on that one fourth down when they ran that trick play. Actually, it was the exact same play call, except with better pieces, that Oklahoma called to go up 31-14. And that runner for Oklahoma did a great job of selling that he was going to run it. And then, oh, boom, passes it the last second to Baker Mayfield for a 31-14 lead, which should have been the halftime lead. But as we noted a minute ago, it was not. But what Pat Fitzgerald was doing, going for that on fourth and one in his own 39 with 2.5 minutes left, was so effing stupid. And yet the trick play call that almost resulted in a loss of 20, but the running back or receiver got away and was able to throw an incomplete pass. But that was dumb. And then Stoops, you know, I get it. If you're the inferior team, you're on the road, or you know, some sort of scenario like that, like when Central Michigan at the Bahamas Bowl, one of my worst beats ever against Western Kentucky, like 2 or 3 years ago with Dan Enos. I get it that he wanted to go for two. They had been down 49 to like 21 or something like that late in the third. You know, I still wanted the push in overtime, so I hated that he did that time. But, you know, there are reasons to sometimes go for two. Stoops was not any reason to go for two there. Northwestern's got their backup quarterback in. You've got the momentum. And then the onside kick.
Yeah,
they kick it long. The fuck they doing, Harbo?
I don't know.
I don't either. And that McGinnis kicker is good. I'm sure he does good onside kicks.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on there? Just, it was dumb and dumber. Speaking of dumb, Les Miles and Arizona reportedly have mutual interest. Huh. R-Rod out at Arizona amid sexual allegations from a former assistant, although those, and I'm not going to read the statement verbatim, but Arizona released a statement, although they couldn't substantiate all of her claims, or maybe even any of them. They saw enough smoke to get rid of R-Rod. And look, Les Miles, what? Come on, man. What's Arizona thinking? Go get Sumlin or Kiffin. Yeah, or Venables. I mean, I can think of a lot of people before I would want Les Miles. But we have a Power 5 coaching job that is open, so we'll see what happens there.
Lions need a coach.
They do. I wonder if they'll come after Harbaugh.
Maybe.
Yeah. And Harbaugh's replacement, David Shaw, is being mentioned with some NFL jobs as well. Got a lot of NFL jobs open. One of them is not the Bengals. After multiple reports that Marvin Lewis was on his way out, he stays with the Bengals, signs an extension. He's got to be the longest tenured coach in the NFL. 15 years, 0-7 in the playoffs. Not all his fault. A lot of that on Andy Dalton. The thing is, people are making fun of the Bengals and Mike Brown, which, you know, on the regular, that should happen. I get it. But dude, it's Marvin's taken to the playoffs 7 out of 15 years. The criticism should not be at Marvin. The Bungles going to the playoffs 7 out of 15 years is a minor miracle. Injury news, Anthony Jennings for Alabama, another linebacker, out against Georgia. had knee surgery. I believe it was yesterday. Actually, I know it was yesterday. He played well against Clemson. He had 5 tackles. He had 1 sack and 2 additional tackles for loss. But Jennings now out, obviously, along with Sean Deion Hamilton and Dylan Moses at the linebacker position against Georgia's running game. So that's got to be concerning. But, man, did Alabama play well. And, you know, there's a lot of teams in the bowl season you can give, you know, disappointing awards to, if you will. But, man, Clemson gets mine. I mean, not the defense. Defense played great. Defense played well enough to win. But, man, that offense, ugh, brutal. Struggled. I mean, you know what? That's on me for going against Saban. I mean, I've gone against him when he's catching, you know, an opponent's catching 30 or 40 points. In fact, I do that often with success. But what I was doing going with Clemson on a small line like that, stupid. I had a bloodbath of a bowl season. Ruined my record from what was otherwise an excellent year. Really slumped down the stretch. Yeah, Northwestern did not help me. What was probably the worst beat I had was that Boston College Iowa game where BC doubled them in yardage and just somehow found a way to lose that game. That one really hurt. And, you know, I was packing and then driving to the airport and dropping my dog off. I didn't really see any of the Memphis-Iowa State game. So how and why it didn't go over, I don't know. Although I did see that both teams attempted 3 field goals. And so when you're attempting a bunch of field goals, that's not good for an over. So we'll get back to some football. But so Harbo, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, man.
Yeah, man. So I had Michigan and the Gators last night, winners.
Good call.
Hot in hoops, 3-0 last night, 11-2 since December 27th. On Vegas Insider, I think I've explained it before, we do guaranteed plays where if you purchase it and it doesn't win, you don't have to buy it. But if it wins, you pay at a higher price point. I've hit 6 of those in a row and 14-4 past 18 on those. So I'm getting pretty locked into hoops. Got a lot of injuries in hoops to talk about. The Gators took advantage of A&M being without 3 of their top 4 scorers last night. DJ Hoge was suspended for a 3rd game. He'll be back this weekend for the Aggies. Dwayne Wilson was injured. He's questionable this weekend. And, gosh, what's the other guy's name? It's something like Armon Gilliam from UNLV. From many years ago. In fact, I think Armon Gilliam passed away. If I rest in peace there, Armon. Hell of a power forward for the Rebels.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Who's one of your favorite teams this year in hoops?
Man, I really like Scott Cross's UT Arlington team, just in terms of a sleeper. Yeah, he did pass away in 2011. Wow, and he spelled it Armen, like arm, and then E-N.
Armen.
My favorite team is in college hoops right now. Let's see, that's a good question.
Not necessarily a sleeper, but some of you
feel pretty good. That's a good question. You know, I like Notre Dame because I like Matt Farrell, their point guard, but they had a big injury earlier this week. Bonzi Colson, their stud, is out probably late February, averaging 21.4 points, 10.4 rebounds, 2.0 steals, 2.4 block shots per game. Interesting question. Let me go to the rankings and see who I'm liking. I don't like Kentucky, but you knew that.
I knew that. Uh-oh. Michigan's, I mean, it's lackluster.
I see that some CFL team, this is the headline, trades a quarterback, might be clearing spot for Manziel.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, I saw that the other day.
Yeah, the NFL, whatever, personal conduct, he's clear. He's fine. Has he really been sober the last, like, 5 or 6 months?
So he's okay to play in Canada.
I'm asking out loud. I'm not necessarily asking you. I'm asking whoever. Is he really sober? So. Go to his Instagram page. See if he's been partying.
I was looking him up the other day, actually. I was like, oh, he's moving to Canada.
He's engaged to, yeah, I guess she's pretty hot. Yeah, she's hot.
she hot enough to calm him down, you think?
I don't know. I don't know. Johnny's rolled with some hot ones. Okay, let me look at these rankings here. Well, I think Villanova is... Oh, Arizona State. That's who I like. Trey Holder. Man, they've been good to me. Arizona State's a team I really like. Wow, Xavier's fifth. Not that the AP matters at all. Xavier's fifth. Did they cover against Butler last night? They pushed, I think. I think they won by seven.
No party picks for Manziel. He looks like he's playing it straight.
He looks like he's playing it straight. Are there pictures of him working out?
Oh, yeah, pictures of him on the field. And, okay. You know,
okay.
It looks like he's... I'm surprised, though.
Right? Yeah, and I don't necessarily trust it.
No.
I wonder if his girl, if she's a partier. You know what? I bet she's not. I bet that's what might be selling. What is that of him in a bathrobe?
Yeah, this is the wildest one I could find.
He looks sober there, though.
Yeah, he does.
I only wear bathrobes in Vegas.
Only in Vegas?
Yeah, when I, you know, because I usually
like down to the lobby.
No. Just because they have the sweet robes when you get out of the shower, man.
You gotta take advantage of that.
I like to put one of those on. Oh, what is... I knew I heard some volume. That's my computer. Shut up.
Who's that talking?
One of their dork college... But I mean, good Lord, is he a dork-looking guy. Anyhow.
It's hard to rock the bow tie.
Right? He's got... Oh, no, he didn't have a bow tie, okay. But he's... Well, I have on glasses as well. So do you, Arvo. I guess I can't make fun of people with glasses anymore. We got some big hoops games today, and I think Arvo will have... by the way, we're recording at, 4:15 Central in Blue Mountain Beach, where it's cold as a MF-er.
Cold as ice, quite literally.
I actually saw on Twitter at one point today that snow in Tallahassee, and then I clicked it, and it was the first time it snowed in 28 years, which sounded right, because I remember a Christmas day it snowing, and I probably was around, a teenager at that time. 28 years, no snow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It's not going to snow here, though, is it?
Jordan said it snowed a little bit.
Get your mind out of the gutter, man. Holidays are over.
out in Inlet Beach a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Flurries.
Well, isn't it supposed to be in the 20s for days down here?
I think so, man. It's freezing.
It was cold in Hotlanta. So I made my Mercedes-Benz debut. I had had two people tell me they weren't impressed with... Donuts was one of them. One of the bartenders at McTye's. And who was the other person told me they didn't think it was all that? Man, that
Who's
place
Donuts?
Is, Donuts, Joey Bag of Donuts.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Beard. That stadium is awesome.
Isn't the food cheap too? Like,
I didn't eat.
Okay.
I drank.
I thought they did it like they were trying to go not old school, but like, you know, like a beer is not $9. It's like
right. Well, you know, I'm trying to think.
Like they were trying to make.
I think it was like $7.50, but it's a Big Daddy. It was, you know, like a 16 ounce, or maybe. No, I think it was just 16 ounce.
Okay, well, it's still pretty expensive.
But Falcons get it done. And it didn't really matter because Seattle lost anyway, and we were locked in going to L.A. Love the Falcons this week, plus the 6.5. Falcons are going to beat L.A. Quarterback advantage, experience advantage. Falcons are healthy, too. Although they did lose Levitre, their starting offensive guard, which is not good because Aaron Donald and that Rams D-line, the interior D-line, is pretty nasty. But Falcons defense is playing so good. My guy, Keanu Neal, better have your head on a swivel coming across the middle, Tavon Austin, or you might get decapitated. Falcons are going to win that game outright. It's a short week going out west. But, dude, the Falcons, like, we're not even really playing that well, but we're winning pretty much every week, and would have won it or could have won at New Orleans if not for Devontae Freeman's fumble at the one and not getting in on fourth and goal at the one. But I guess I got to forgive him and get past it, even though he's a null. So, yeah, to answer your question about some favorite team, I mean, I just love Bobby Hurley's Arizona State team, and I love Mick Cronin's Cincy squad, even though my Gators beat them, just because I love playing their unders. Arkansas lost last night to Mississippi State. Oh, my man, GP, Gary Parrish, has got the Gators back in his top 25, plus one this week at 24. Big win for the Gators last night. I mean, I guess the committee will know that, you know, they were missing some players, some very good players. But anytime you win by 17 on the road against a team that, I mean, what is A&M and the RPI? I mean, well, I don't know what they are today after we pimp slapped them last night. And again, I realize they're missing their players. And I would have never played the Gators last night at A&M if they had not been missing their players. Okay, they're down to 22 in the RPI today, but I'm pretty sure they've been top 10 in the RPI most of the year. And they do have five top 100 RPI wins. So the Gators are up to 58 in the RPI. Don't worry about that. That's just a... Well, I think that Loyola Chicago loss is bringing the Gators down, but that Loyola Chicago team's pretty damn good. What are they're 83 in the RPI. So why is Florida's RPI down so much? Clemson's number 13 in the RPI. I mean, our losses are not that bad. And wait till we get Igbunu back, and he's on the way. He is on the way, and that's all Florida's missing right now is interior defense. Chioza was terrific last night. Igor, three Gore is back, 5 of 6 from downtown. He had 19 game high. Keystone, 18 points, 4 of 6 from long distance. Even the freshman DeAndre Ballard, 2 of 3 from long range. Jalen Hudson only played 15 minutes, but 3 of 4 from 3 and 11 points. Chioza, just another great all-around game. 12 points, 9 assists, 4 boards, 4 steals, only 2 turnovers. Get Igbunu back and watch out for my Gators. And, yep, Michigan a winner last night as well. Good stuff. Moritz Wagner back healthy. Maryland was only 3.5-4 at home against Penn State last night. I knew Justin Jackson had had a season-ending injury, but you know he was averaging 9.8 points, 8.8 rebounds per game. And I'm trying to think if I've seen Maryland play this year. Anyway, I studied their roster and their stats, and I couldn't believe Justin Jackson was only their fourth leading scorer. So and they also lost a role player, Ivan Bender, to a season-ending injury, but I'm like, come on, man. Penn State at home, only -4. So I had Maryland last night, Florida, and Michigan, 3-0. We'll take it. The Gators back in action Saturday at Missouri. Other SEC games last night at the Hump. Ben Hallen and company get a huge win against Arky. Mississippi State now 45 in the RPI. Arky is 7th in the RPI. Mississippi State's only lost once at Cincy. No shame in that loss. But they played a really weak schedule. In fact, strength of schedule, 273. I'm not sure how many there's 130 FBS teams, in college football. How many in hoops? I have no idea. 330-something. If I'm not mistaken. So, Mississippi State will be at Ole Miss on Saturday. Okay, tonight's action. Let me get the board up here. The Bedlam version of hoops. I thought about taking Oklahoma, but, Oklahoma State still got Jeffrey Carroll. They've still got Lindy Waters. They've still got some pretty good players. If you haven't watched Trae Young yet, my God, he leads the nation in scoring and assist. I wonder who the last person to lead the nation in scoring and assist was at the end of the season. I wonder if it's ever happened.
Yeah, that seems pretty crazy.
I mean, it's insane crazy. Because if you're scoring so much that you lead the nation, it usually means you're not passing very much. But he's averaging more than 10 assists a game and averaging 29 and change. So, did you watch any fights the other night?
I didn't, man. I didn't.
Well, have you heard about what Khabib did to My guy, Edson Barbosa, the best kicker in the game.
What went down?
I mean, I was just following it on Twitter. It was what I told you before the show. I didn't get that figured out to the Cyborg fight, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Because I was just, I'd actually literally gone to bed because I had a big day. I was going to bed early, but as I was in bed, at my friend's house in Atlanta, I'd forgotten about the fight. So I'm start looking at him on Twitter, and it's every tweet is just that Khabib is, everybody was saying, throw in the towel. But it went the distance, and Khabib just absolutely wrecked Barbosa. He showed up fight week weighing 154. Wait, yeah, 155 is the limit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You remember how he had the issues when he was fighting Ferguson, had that bad weight cut, went rogue, and went to some lame hospital, and Dana was so pissed.
Right.
Well, he showed up. I mean, I've never even heard of somebody showing up at fight week, other than maybe, you know, like Frankie Edgar, who doesn't cut weight. But he shows up at fight week weighing 1 pound under. He meant business.
Yeah, he was ready.
I mean, he absolutely destroyed Barbosa. I didn't watch it. I saw highlights of it. And Barbosa even threw one of his... You remember that crazy spinning heel kick that he threw that sent Terry Etim into next year, like 5 years ago? Yeah. He threw one of those.
Nothing.
Khabib just ate it. He just walked through it. I bet you can. I mean, if you want to. Yeah, you can probably pull that out. Don't feel like you got to do it now. You can probably pull the highlight up of that. Just Google what I described. He just ate it and kept coming. And he was talking to Dana between rounds.
Really?
Yeah, he was going, Dana, what do you think of my performance?
I saw a little bit of the aftermath, and I was moving slow after all the holiday stuff.
Sure.
But the biggest reaction, and I don't know if I was on Instagram or Twitter, but everybody calling out Conor McGregor and telling him to shut the hell up because he was calling Khabib out and saying, what a horrible win. Like,
yeah, called it dog shit.
Dog shit fight, yeah. Like,
hey. Conor wants nothing to do with Khabib. I've been saying that for years, but then when Khabib missed weight for the Ferguson fight, I just kind of hadn't really talked about Khabib much. But
right. He showed up.
Did you hear what he said? Like, what he wants to do next?
I don't know. Rule the world.
Right? Well, yeah. Well, this qualifies. You know, they're asking...
Oh, you're talking about Khabib?
Yeah. They're like, what does he want to... Oh, you're talking about Conor.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Conor.
Yeah, rule the world. Well, in his mind, he already does rule the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, in my mind, he kind of does, too.
Yeah.
Financially. They're asking Khabib, like, you know, you want Ferguson or you want McGregor?
It's like, two in one night.
Yeah. And this is no joke.
Yeah.
This is no joke. If UFC, Dana gave me a couple hours to rest, I beat them both one night.
Yeah. Very serious.
This is not no trash talk. This is just me having fun. This is no trash talk. This is for real.
I hope they do allow it.
Oh, God. Well, you remember, like, UFC 1, that's how it was.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, real tournament style.
Oh, yeah, man. Royce Gracie would come back in.
Put your boots on and get back out there.
God, how did Royce Gracie beat all those big guys? He weighed way less than I do.
When did they cut the boots out of UFC? Do you remember that? You used to be able to rock, like, the...
You would wear boots into
the cage?
No,
didn't they have, like, didn't Tank Abbott have, like boots? Not, like, full-on, like, tactical boots, but, like...
Like, you know, he had something on his feet that he was kicking with?
Yeah, and stomping with.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, they still stomp the feet over in the corner.
Right.
John Jones, you said, you're dead to us, John Jones. You know, he's got his hearing coming up, I guess, fairly soon. Yeah, so Khabib... dominates Edson Barbosa, and everybody was just harping on how tough Barbosa is. I love Barbosa, but it sounded like that fight took some years off his career and maybe his life as well. And I don't mean to joke about that, but these guys they're barbarians. You don't get in that cage unless you got like 18 screws loose. Same with NFL players. I mean, yeah. Yes. So my Falcons win. Couldn't punch it in the end zone against Carolina. I had end zone seats. I had end zone seat to the last Florida-Alabama SEC championship game. I'm a big end zone seats guy now. you can really see the way the routes are developing for wide receivers, and obviously it's clear why coach's film comes from the end zone. I like sitting in the end zone now. I don't know that I want to be on the sidelines anymore moving forward. Okay, all kind of little coaching tidbits that I just got in my notes here. I'll clear the notebook out, if you will. Gators add a couple coaches to their staff. Sal Sunseri, Raiders linebackers coach, going to join Dan Mullen and company as UF's D-line coach, presumably. Greg Knox, who was the interim coach for Mississippi State while Mullen was gone, coached them to a win over Lamar Jackson in Louisville. He will join the Gators as running backs coach and maybe special teams coordinator, as he had been at MSU since 14. So, I mean, what an unmitigated disaster for SEC in bowl games. Mississippi State and South Carolina being the only wins. Sorry, Harbo.
It's okay.
Until Georgia and Alabama, and now an all SEC final. But I mean, all those out there, all the SEC haters, I'll give you, it was a down year for the SEC. I mean, my God, Tennessee and Florida fired their coaches, didn't go to bowl games. Yeah, that's a bad year. All right, the ass beatings, the pimp slaps of the bowl season. Well, I mean, those are that the two main ones, or three main ones, go to FAU and that just shellacking they put on Terry Bowden and Akron. I saw Tommy Bowden at Publix yesterday when I got back in town. That's Terry's brother. Navy. I mean, my gosh, Bronco Mendenhall in Virginia. Where? What the hell? You return the opening kickoff and then what? I think the final is 51-7. That's gross. And La Tech. Look at Skip Holtz. I had La Tech that game. Loved it. But Alabama really gets it, even though the margin of victory wasn't as vast as those others. Man, Alabama, very, very impressive. And obviously none of us should be surprised. All right, some tidbits on some hoops games tonight. Presuming you get to listen to it beforehand. And if not, I'm already working on my preview for tomorrow night's action. Tomorrow we got Maryland, quick turnaround after beating PSU last night at Sparty, FS1, 8 o'clock Eastern, and Arizona at Utah, ESPN, 9 o'clock Eastern. That's tomorrow night. I'll have those in my tip sheet along with bonus nuggets for you to check out mañana on VegasInsider.com. So UCF is in action tonight at home against Memphis. Put Memphis on your fade list. UCF is one of my plays tonight, -7.5. They're 6-1 straight up their last seven. They're only L by 5 at SMU, and I watched SMU absolutely annihilate a very good Boise State team, so I know SMU is legit. And speaking of SMU, their old player Keith Frazier, saw he's out indefinitely for UTEP. 8-0 under run for UCF, and UCF has covered 5 in a row. Let's hope they make it 6 tonight against Tubby Smith's Tigers. Memphis is horrible, people. They just lost 82-48 to Cincy on Sunday. Another Cincy Thunder under. I had that. The under's on a 5-1 run for Memphis. Memphis is 0-4 against the RPI top 100. All those L's by 9 or more. UCF 62 in the RPI, so those stats apply tonight. Valpo and Bradley. The total is 131. I'm not on it, so this isn't an endorsement. But FYI, the under on a 9-1 run for Valpo and a 10-2-1 run for the Bradley Braves. Falcons Rams unders 11-5 overall for the Falcons. 5-0 run, third highest total of the year for the Rams. But the Rams have seen a lot of overs lately. I'm pretty sure it's 5 in a row for them. NFL lines for this weekend. I mean, what world do we live in when the Jagoffs and the Bills are in the playoffs? Bills in the playoffs for the first time since the Music City Miracle. And they had to get all kind of crazy shit to happen, including an Andy Dalton late fourth quarter touchdown pass to beat the Ravens. Oh, my God, did the Ravens choke. I wasn't watching, but I did watch Inside the NFL on Showtime these days. It used to be HBO. I think it's Showtime these days. That was smooth. Spilt a little water on myself there. Nobody the Jagoffs are favored by 8.5 or 9 in a postseason game. When's the last time the Jagoffs got to the playoffs? Probably that year when they won at Pittsburgh on that David Garrard quarterback draw. That's when my boy four-touchdown Fred was still playing for the Jags. God, my cousin Brent must be so fired up. I may be on the Bills. Let me click up, pull up this injury report. And I saw on those highlights on Inside the NFL that the Jags were locked into the 3 seed, which means they weren't getting a bye. And I saw Bortles, I mean, Chad Henne, still their backup, I would imagine. But why were the Jags playing their main guys? I didn't actually look at the box score. But I saw Bortles taking a sack like late in the game. So they played their starting quarterback the whole way. Why were they doing that? Oh, by the way, LeSean McCoy is a question mark for the Bills. That's key, obviously. You know, I guess we'll be dealing with cold weather even in Florida for a playoff game this week.
Yeah.
And, which is quite odd, but I'm sure it'll be warm to Buffalo players. Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans is 7. That is on Saturday. Wait a second. Why does it say? No, I'm sorry. That's on Sunday. Or no. Well, look. You see this? See, I'm not seeing shit. That says Saturday, January 6th.
Yeah.
That should be Sunday.
You got to get your glasses adjusted, Brian.
Well, no. this VI Live odds feed is screwed up.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right.
It
okay,
says
Saturday and then Saturday.
Like, that's Saturday. That's Sunday. Well, let me go to the other odds page and check it out. Let me see here. They would not play all 4 games on Saturday. No, it's the 7th. Yeah. What's going on? I need to.
Some programmer needs to be fired.
Yeah, I need to email somebody over there. So Tennessee, KC. Big spreads on these games. KC is 8.5 to the Titans. How in the hell did the Titans get in the playoffs? I actually had them, though, the other day, thinking Jags were going to rest their starters. Maybe they did rest some, but they didn't rest Bortles. I went 2-0 Sunday. I had Tennessee and the Falcons, and I was in major comeback mode after a bloody week of bowl games, and I had Georgia and Hoops on Sunday night as they cover yet again at Rupp Arena. God, they lose heartbreakers at Rupp Arena every single year. Georgia's back in action tonight against Ole Miss. That's one of my plays as well. -4.5 against the Rebs. Rebels off a spread cover as a short favorite at home against South CAC Alaki. And congrats to Coach Boom and Muschamp with the comeback win. A 9-win season for the Gamecocks, and I had them in my preseason top 25. I hyped their over 5.5 win total. Remember that, Harbaugh, back in the summer?
I do.
Yep. Yes, I did.
We were talking about it on the weekend. I was like, man, Brian was talking about them all the way up into the summer.
I hit my win totals. I want to look at that box score from that game. I want to see what Bentley did, and it's right here. Sorry to keep bringing up your game, Harbaugh.
It's okay. I'll forgive you.
Boy, Peters. I saw Peter. Oh, he had 2 picks. Oh, they actually put...
Did you see that post-game where he's like, oh, well, a lot of it was on me. It's like, yeah, of course it was.
Oh, you went 20 of 44 for 186. It was raining a good bit, though, wasn't it?
Whatever.
Right. I like that. No excuses.
Yeah.
Bentley was 19 of 32, 239 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. And Rico Dowdle came back after that broken leg in October. Brian Edwards, mama can't spell, 5 catches, 88 yards, 1 touchdown. I wonder if Hayden Hurst is going pro. He had 3 catches, 41 yards. He probably is. He's like 25. He played some minor league baseball. But, man, if he comes back with Brian Edwards coming back, with Debo Samuel coming back, with Bentley coming back, with Dowdle coming back, with A.J. Turner coming back, whew, man, South Carolina is going to be good next year, and they get Georgia at home. And my man Muschamp, what was his quote? I retweeted it yesterday. He goes, actually, let me go to my Twitter page, and I'll get it exactly.
Didn't Kentucky beat them?
Yeah, that was the night that Debo got hurt. God, I lost a ton of money on that one. All the arrows for us are pointing up. I'm real excited about our future. Quote, unquote, Will Muschamp. If you get the if you listen to this before 8:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, that being Wednesday, January 3rd, my preview for Kentucky, the Kitty Cats at LSU tonight, first true road game of the year, even though they have played neutral games at MSG and NYC, United Center, Chicago, where they lost to Kansas, they beat Monmouth at MSG, and they lost to UCLA, that being UCLA, on a couple Saturdays ago in the Big Easy. But this is Kentucky's first true road game in Baton Rouge tonight. And first time they've been back to the Pete Maravich Assembly Center since Ben Simmons and company put it on them a couple years ago. I know your father-in-law, Harbro, Jim Rohde, will be all tuned in. I'm not going to say I love this, but so your sister-in-laws and your mother-in-law are going to Europe. Is Jody in on any of that? Because I love it because that means Jim is going to have some solo time over at the pad.
Everyone's going to make the rounds over to see Emma, but Jim will have some solo time.
A lot of solo time.
For sure.
I mean, Shelly's going to be gone for like a month, right?
They're going to be gone for a while, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be running that place over there. Who's going to keep the dogs when Jim's out of town for work?
Oh, they've got it all figured out, man.
Oh, gosh.
And the fan strikes again.
I've done that how many times now?
Twice.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some news for you.
What?
Oh my God. Poor Brian Caraway. Misha Tate is Prego.
Oh, what?
You remember they broke up like, what, 6-9 months ago?
Right.
She's Prego. But you know what? I'm sure Caraway is like, I'll kick his ass because he's like, he's some Boise State former wrestler who was on the Tough 22 and what's his name? Johnny Nunez or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Misha's Prego. Yeah, posted on Instagram. A man's never made. I've never felt love and happiness this way. Just knives to Brian Caraway. Ouch. For those not in the know, Misha Tate, former UFC women's bantamweight champion, and I believe the hottest UFC fighter ever.
I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Paige. I like Paige, but
she's no Cyborg.
Oh God. No, I agree. No Cyborg. Cyborg beats Holly Holm a couple nights ago, December 30th, to retain her belt. But Holm went the distance. I don't know when the last time Cyborg had to go the distance.
Holm's tough, man.
Holm is tough. And she battled, man. She battled. She had her moments in that fight. I forget what the final tally was. It wasn't 50-45 across, I know. I mean, Holly won a round or two. Man, she is like a tennis player. Like every time she's about to make her move, it's like a chick tennis player serving with the grunts and rah, rah, rah. I mean, every time she's about to make a move, she just screams, and I'm like, God, that's got to be a tell for the opponent, doesn't it?
You'd think so.
I mean, right? Yep. But now sometimes she would do the little holler and then fake it. But right. I don't know if. I don't know how much that was working. All right, anyway, some other hoops injuries to let you in on. I told you about Justin Jackson from Maryland. That's a big one. Bonzi Colson, that's a huge one. He'll be back in late February, though. Vermont star. Vermont's got a very good mid-major team, a very good possibility this team goes to the round of 32. But their stud, he got hurt. And I'm shooting a blank on his name right now. I think it's Lamb. Hold on. I'm scrolling down. Come here. Vermont. Oh, Covers. Covers doesn't even have it in their injury report. He's serious. Oh, gosh. All right. I know they're playing Harvard tonight. Let me go up to Harvard. And Bryce Aiken is questionable for the Crimson. And what's wrong with Harvard this year, man? I do not know. They have not been good, and they had one of the best and a top 20 recruiting class, not class of 17, class, like the guys are sophomores now, and Bryce Aiken is one of them. I don't know what's wrong with Harvard, but let's see here. Harvard. Bryce Aiken, boom. Okay, now give me the Vermont page. Dartmouth. Oh my God, covers is all screwed up today. And look at these pictures.
Yeah, those aren't right.
Covers is having some tech issues today. Anyhow, Vermont star, leading scorer, leading rebounder, lead shot blocker. He is out for an extended period of time, just like Bonzi Colson for Notre Dame. So that's big. Bruce Pearl. Like we had our guy Jay Greason telling us how, you know, because Bruce Pearl, you know, Chuck Person, the Rifleman, is facing like 80 years or whatever, unless he rats for, you know, the corruption scandal and whatnot, which has Pearl on the hot seat. He would not even cooperate with, you know, Auburn's internal investigation. But yet, Jay Greason told us a couple weeks ago he was at Auburn on a Saturday and support for Pearl is off the hook, which is so freaking Auburn. So Auburn. And then he goes to Tennessee last night and gets a win. So they're not going to fire him anytime soon. And, well, the new AD may eventually, but God, Bruce Pearl, man. James Harden out 2 to 6 weeks for the Rockets. My Hawks have been covering some numbers here lately. And they're not playing tonight. I like the Sixers tonight. The Spurs are going to, as you never know, pop on a back-to-back, and they won at the Knicks last night. Ginobili's definitely out. Rudy Gay is injured, and Fi's live odds injury, Delio, says that Pop's planning on resting not Aldridge, but Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard, which Kawhi you can understand because he just came back. All right. Have I been yapping for 45 minutes?
We're almost there, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's take a break. Coming back in just a few. Games Galore 29. Don't go anywhere. Happy. And welcome back, Games Galore 29, music by the Haraway Brothers. Saul Will up in Atlanta, and they're playing here for Songwriters next week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he'll be here either Wednesday or Thursday. A couple other tidbits wanted to share. I have not had a chance to listen to it because I didn't notice it till about a half hour before I had to drive over to Harbaugh's for the show. But Hugh Freeze had an exclusive interview with Clay Travis about Kick the Coverage today, and I saw Clay Travis on Twitter and I clicked it because it said something about a Hugh Freeze interview, and I listened to him for a second, and he was saying that Freeze reached out to him.
That's weird.
And wanted to do like a long form interview where he didn't have to do it a bunch of times, and said, and like told him, like, don't worry about it. I don't want any softball questions. I want to talk about it at length and be done with it. Which, and our, my buddy, friend of the show, Rachel Barbo, who we've had on here, she got the first like big interview with him, that we discussed a few weeks ago. But That was like an article she was writing with quotes. This was, you know, you can listen to the interview. And I was, during the break there, I was just trying to click around to see if anybody had transcribed the whole thing, and they have not. But there are a few people who've just tweeted little tidbits of him.
I'm sure it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I'm sure he came clean. What were some of the?
Is he still being sued?
Who was suing him?
Oh, never mind.
No, you're probably thinking about the Tennessee coaching search.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's getting sued in that thing. Well, I don't know. John Curry's going to sue Tennessee's being sued by everybody, is what, including Greg Schiano and John Curry. F John Curry, what a dumbass that dude is. So anyhow, oh, by the way, I don't know if John Chavis to Arkansas is official, but it was in the works, And now, and I believe it was 3 years ago that Sumlin and A&M came and got John Chavis from the Mad Hat, the Hat, and LSU. And now, according to reports, Jimbo Dumbo and Texas A&M is coming after Dave Aranda, who right there at Brent Venables is one of the best DCs in the nation. And one of the beat reporters was on Feinbaum earlier saying he is expecting it to happen. So, Coach O, hey, go Tigers. He is probably going to be looking for an OC and DC because Matt Canada, I don't know if that's been made official yet, but that's been the reports for a week or so. Is Gruden the fucking coach for the Raiders yet or what? I felt like I saw it like on the ticker as if it was fact and done deal, but then I saw something today that made me think it wasn't a done deal. So I'm not sure if that is a done deal or not. I should, but I don't. Oh, that's what I heard. Yeah, Gruden was talking about how he saw. yeah, it is just a possibility. It's not a done deal.
Yeah, it hasn't been confirmed.
I thought it was a freaking done deal from something I saw the other day. But anyhow, okay, so that's not a done deal. What, according to reports, is potential or possibly or maybe or probably a done deal is that our president, Donald Trump, is going to go to the title game on Monday night between Georgia and Alabama. So I asked Harbo during the break, I was like, have you ever been to a sporting event when a president goes there?
Nope.
And he said, nope. And I can say that I have. And I can tell you that all you Georgia-Alabama fans that are listening, you're going to be very pissed off about this. And that, what I'm talking about is Trump going to the game, not something I'm about to tell you. I went to the 94 Final Four in Charlotte, the Gators' first Final Four. Dan Cross, Andrew DeClercq, CB, Craig Brown. What was the rest of our starting lineup? Oh, duh, Demeet Hook. So it was Cross and Brown in the backcourt. Demeet Hook, DeClercq. Who's our small forward? Oh, my guy from Atlanta, BT, Brian Thompson, with Marty Kuisma coming off the bench.
This is during Clinton's reign.
Yes, this is Clinton's reign. And the other semifinal matchup was Arkansas and Arizona when Damon Stoudemire went 1 of 18 from the field. So Florida played the late game, thank God. Because, you know, a secret, I mean, if you've got, and I think that Charlotte Arena held like, I want to say it held like 20,000, maybe even more than that. I mean, it was huge. It was like Thompson Bowling in Knoxville or Rupp. And I know Thompson Bowling's bigger than Rupp. So, you know, if you're going into a facility where the president is, you know, obvious. Well, first off, you go through security going into, well, post 9/11, you go through plenty of security anyway, or at least these days, or for the Falcons game the other day. But not necessarily in 94, but for you know, with Clinton being there, I mean, the line took so freaking long. And they take long enough these days anyway, maybe not in 94. But so Arbo, my dad and I had been, you know, consuming beverages, and we had bought
a couple Pepsis.
Yeah, well, we bought some miniature vodkas to take into the game. And I was just like, F it, man. I mean, come on. We've been drinking for hours. We're going to be in here for 5 freaking hours.
Keep this going.
I am keeping these. I don't care if they – I mean, surely Secret Service won't, you know, see vodka and just say, oh, you're out of here. Don't they have bigger fish to fry?
Get out of here, that whole vodka terrorists.
Well, as you know, they had like metal detectors, the whole thing. And I mean, it was obviously a long time ago. It was like 23 years ago. But I don't remember if it was a Secret Service guy or, I mean, how many Secret Service guys are there? I mean, they can't be at every, but whatever, some sort of security guy who had a metal detector, you know, it's going off as he's doing it on my pocket. And I'm like, oh, shit, man.
Damn
all
it.
Right, what's going on here? Well, I knew what was going on here. I knew exactly what was going on here.
My wallet.
And he didn't ask me to empty my pockets. He reached into my pockets.
Bold move.
And grabs like 3, 4, 5, whatever I had, miniature vodkas, pulls them out, he looks at him, and he looks back at me with his serious as hell look, and he goes, "Have fun, buddy," and puts them back in my pocket. And I'm like, "Thanks, man. Nice. You're the man." Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And we proceeded to get hammered.
Did it take forever to get out of there, too, probably?
Don't remember that part.
Got it. Yeah, with the vodka. Don't remember in that
part. Well, I think Clinton was... Well, the Arkansas game was early, so...
Okay, I got you.
He was long gone.
Okay.
He didn't hang around for Duke. And Grant Hill, we... Andrew DeClercq made a bank shot, not on purpose, from like 18 feet around the, I'd say the elbow of the free throw line. And that put us up by 11, our biggest lead, with like 8 minutes left. And I was like, oh my God, we are going to beat Duke and go to the national title game on Monday. And I'm going to have to change my flight because I'm not leaving.
Right.
And, and then Grant Hill just absolutely took the F over. And there was a terrible charge call. Freaking, I think it was Chris Collins, took the charge on Dan Cross. It was such a block. It was such a vintage Duke charge where it gets called, and it's just such theatrics. And thank God they made that rule where Duke guys can't stand under the basket and get charges anymore. That's the Duke rule, that little line they have under the basket where if you're taking a charge, you have to be beyond that. That's the Duke rule. That's the Duke line. But anyhow, Duke came back, and then Todd Day hit the game-winning three. Man, I'm looking at all these Twitter comments about the interview with Freeze being phenomenal. Man, I can't wait to go listen to
like
it.
Phenomenally hilarious or like...
I don't know. I'm sure he's got so many bullshit excuses of why he cheated. And I'm talking about NCAA and his wife and the hookers, the whole deal, whatever. I'm looking forward to it. So Georgia Alabama fans, you're effed, man. It's gonna take you an hour to get into that game. If you want to see kickoff, you better be trying to get in there more than an hour before the game, and presuming they serve alcohol, which I'm sure they do, then go ahead. Can we go down?
Yeah.
In the midst of the show. No problem. No problem. Need to pause.
No problem.
I like it. Harbo's got a tall desk where you stand. But we've been standing for an hour. Let's
been out for a little bit.
Let's sit for a minute. All right. Let's go through the rest of the hoops card tonight. As I said, I like Georgia at Stegman tonight against Ole Miss. Presuming it's -4.5. I hadn't looked in a while. Oh, wait, before we get there, let me finish up the NFL line. So Tennessee at KC, I'm sure weather's going to be a factor there. That is on, what says ESPN, ABC, so whatever, one or the other. At 4:30 Eastern on Saturday, KC -8.5. No decision made on that, but I lean KC right now. Mariota is a turnover machine. Atlanta Rams, 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Love that. Plenty of time to get some booze in me. I hope the Gators play in the afternoon on Saturday. Wow, that'll be a great day. Falcons catching 6.5. They're going to win outright. Probably get +230-ish. Money line, Buffalo at the Jagoffs. What world do we live in where the Jagoffs are favored by 8.5? I mean, look at these scrub organizations that are in the playoffs. Did I correctly read that the Falcons, the only team that were in the playoffs last year that are back in the playoffs? I believe I did read that. That's crazy. Crazy.
That seems correct.
No, it has to be NFC. I'm sorry. Yeah, because the Patriots are back. What am I talking about? Yeah, NFC, I guess. But still, that's...
That was my only guess. I was like,
that's six spots, though. Five teams that went to the NFC playoffs. Yeah, because Philly and Minnesota weren't in the playoffs last year. So, Jagoffs laying 8.5. That's the lowest total on the board at 39. Carolina at New Orleans. The Superdome, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Saints are 6.5. Some books are up at 7, but it's even money. Got to do double juice. God, I cannot have a picture of Clay Travis in my background from the Hugh Freeze Twitter. God, I can't look at his mug. Nothing against Clay, but... don't want to look at his mug. And so instead, I've got your boy right here's mug.
There he is.
Harbo. Not our producer.
He's
the
fans are angry.
Jim Harbaugh. Are Michigan fans pissed?
I don't think they're happy.
Well,
this one's certainly not.
Right? I wonder if he's gonna bolt for the NFL. Was that just a bunch of chatter about that lifetime contract?
That's not, I guess.
I mean, that hadn't happened, has it?
No. Not to my knowledge.
No. All right, the hoops. Huge NBA card tonight. I've got to just get focused in on NBA because I do not have a clue right now, and my record is horrible. The gang at VI got on me for not doing enough picks, so started posting some picks, and God, have they been awful. But I'm hot as a firecracker in college hoops. I mean, my God, I've had five sports going on simultaneously, and basketball has been in last place on all those. some injury stuff, if you're looking, excuse me, if you're looking at the St. John's Creighton game today, excuse me, God darn it, tonight that is, Shamori Ponds and Marcus Lovett are questionable for the Red Storm. Ponds averages more than 20 points a game. Lovett's been out for, he's been out seven in a row. He averages like 15 a game, but if neither one of those guys can go, that's a big deal. So the Kitty Cats are 2.5 at LSU. Again, if you get this, if you're listening before 8:30 Eastern, you go to VI and check out my preview of that game. St. Bonaventure at Dayton. The Bonnies are for real. And if you didn't see their go either look up or even and or follow the St. Bonaventure's men's basketball Twitter profile. They've got like a 3-minute video of the celebration after they won at the Carrier Dome in overtime a week or two ago, and it was pretty sweet. It was really sweet. You should check it out. Mizzou at South Carolina tonight. That's 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. South Kakalaki is a 1.5-point chalk. Total 139. Okay, so Oklahoma, I mentioned earlier they're playing the Pokes tonight. Oaks 9.5. I lean Oklahoma. I did not pull the trigger on it, though. Oklahoma, the over is 10-1. And then Oklahoma State, the under was 9-0 until their last game with West Virginia went over. So the under's 9-1 for Oak State. The over's 10-1 for Oklahoma. Something got to give in Norman tonight. That total's 166. New Mexico at Boise. Nice win for Leon Rice and the Broncos and Chandler Hutchison at UNLV this past weekend at Thomas and Mack. BSU is a 9-point favorite tonight to the Lobos at Taco Bell Arena, which always makes me think of my guy Derek Marks, who made me so much money. I wonder where and how Derek Marks is doing overseas balling. I am sure. Oh, we got a total on a Cincinnati game tomorrow night. 137.5 as they are in Philly at Temple tomorrow night. 137.5. You can bet your ass I will be on the under in that one. Other games of note tonight, Alan Edwards, who I once guarded in the summer of 92 in the Sunshine State games. And it was at Vince Carter's high school, Daytona Beach, Mainland High School. I guarded him. He's the coach of Wyoming now. Played for Kentucky, won a national title. He and the Cowboys are 11.5-point dogs in Reno against the Wolfpack. And if you hadn't seen the Wolfpack play, that team is good. That Georgia line is still sitting at 4.5. That starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, which is in 15 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. For LaSalle tonight, B.J. Johnson is questionable, star player for their team, averages over 20 and like 9.1 boards a game. I gave some thought to Rutgers tonight. They've only lost by more than that once, and that was at Minnesota by 22, and they're at Purdue tonight catching 19. But they just lost back-to-back home games to Hartford and Stony Brook. But I've seen Rutgers play. They're actually pretty good. I love that big man inside. Dwayne, what the hell's his last name? I'm forgetting. But anyway, so look, my plays tonight, St. Bonaventure, Georgia, and UCF. I'm eating all chalk, but that's okay. Again, on Fire and Hoops, 3-0 last night. Did I have all chalk last night? Short chalk. No, Gators were short dog. Don't want to be eating chalk all the time for certain. No, that's no good. All right, NBA tonight. I told you about the Spurs resting a bunch of guys. Oh, Jeff Teague's out for a while for the T-Wolves. That's not good. Oladipo's doubtful for the Pacers tonight at Milwaukee. Cavs are going to rest Isaiah Thomas after he made his Cavs debut, scored 17 points the other night, arresting him at Boston. That's a big game. That's on ESPN. That's 8:05 p.m. Eastern. Golden State's got some question marks tonight, including Draymond Green. They're at Dallas, and the Mavs are suddenly balling. The Mavs have won 4 in a row, both straight up and against the spread, and some decent wins in there. They won at OKC, they won at the Pelicans, and at the Pacers, and beat the Raptors at home. Those are all pretty good teams, especially the Raptors. Tomorrow night in NBA, just a two-game slate, Golden State on a back-to-back at Houston. Again, no James Harden, out 2 to 6 weeks. OKC at the Clippers tomorrow night. What else? Lewis says the Bengals are starting from scratch. Okay. 15 years out. Oh, and by the way, R-Rod did admit to an extramarital affair, but says that the allegations, that woman, did she file a lawsuit? Man, he's got to be pissed because he had Khalil Tate coming back for 2 years, maybe. So I wonder who Arizona gets. If they get Les Miles, they're so dumb. They should go after Lane Kiffin or Kevin Sumlin. No brainer. Or they could go after the Swamp Donk, McElwiener. I ran into some Alabama buddies that I hadn't seen in a while in Atlanta this weekend. Yeah. And one of them, he said, "Oh, man, I hadn't seen you in so long. I told you you're going to love McElwain. I'm so sorry." And I was like, "Hey, you're not half as sorry as I am." Yeah. I hope he's the water boy in Tuscaloosa next year. But Arizona could go get him.
Yeah, they could.
McElwain and Zook are available. All right, no guests today. As we said, figured we had plenty to rant about with hoops going, reviewing the college football bowl season, which we did. But we're back in the saddle weekly now with hoops going on. And we'll be weekly through March Madness. Then we probably will go bi-weekly or once every 3 weeks like we did this past summer. But anyhow, yeah, please sign up for Games Galore at podbean.com. Is that right?
Yeah, you can just follow us anywhere, really.
Yeah, sign up, subscribe. Well, I did the sign-up thing. I did it for Chael's You're Welcome
yeah.
podcast. What yeah. a great name for Chael's podcast. By the way, he guaranteed he's knocking out Rampage. Have you seen this Bellator heavyweight tournament? The matchups are actually, I mean, there are a bunch of...
It's going to be sweet.
I'm ready. I mean, I've always loved to watch Frank Mir fight. And, I mean, so listen, I mean, I guarantee you know every name in this heavyweight. First off, Chael's fighting in a heavyweight contest.
The heavyweight Grand Prix, is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. He fights Rampage.
Okay.
Rampage is a minus 155 favorite. Look, Rampage can knock Chael out for sure, but he can't stop Chael's takedowns. I got a bet on Chael there as an underdog. Okay, and then you've got King Mo against Bader, who Bader's the Bellator light heavyweight champ. Bader's a big favorite there. Fedor against Frank Mir.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, that'll be fun. I mean, everybody wanted to see that matchup 10 years ago, but whatever, I'll watch.
Yeah.
And then Big Country, I mean, who the hell doesn't want to watch Big Country fight? He's fighting Mitrione, so that'll be sweet. Oh wait, they don't. You know,
when is this?
Well, it's varied through different events. So Chael Rampage is January 20th, and then the other three fights are on a February 16th card.
I see.
Oh, and you know what? I think I saw something where Rory, you know, Rory McDonald, mm-hmm. who's a natural welterweight, he said he's the alternate. Like if somebody what? like if somebody gets hurt, he's the alternate.
He's coming in.
He wants to the red. What's his Red King? Is that his nickname? Why the hell did Rory leave the UFC? Psh, dumb. But he's not happy at Bellator. He's been bitching about no fights. So they had odds for on this this UFC bestfightodds.com. They had odds for like Conor's potential matchups, whether it's Tyron Woodley, whether it's Khabib or Ferguson, and now they've taken him down. They've only got his odds against Ferguson, and it's got him a -175 favorite. He does not want to fight Khabib. Khabib will wear his... His only shot to beat Khabib is just catching him with something early.
Right.
Because Khabib just wrestles, grapples, takes you down, and just beats you senseless. I tell you what, I like Robert Whittaker to fuck Rockhold up. That's UFC 221, February 10th. Whittaker...
If I had $100 million, I think I might stop getting punched in the face, but that's just me.
No, I hear that. I hear that. And but you know what?
But don't talk shit.
Well, but look, he's just a different breed, man. Yeah. He's going to fight. He wants to fight.
No, yeah, he's made for it.
That competition thing is a drug, and it's, you know, for guys like him, it's heroin, crack, whatever. Yeah. He's got to have it. And he hasn't competed for a while. And why does Dana keep saying the summer? I mean, why is Conor not ready to get in the camp and get after it right now? I don't understand. But whatever, do what you do, Conor. But hey, don't sign on the dotted line for Khabib, because that will be an ass beating. Who you liking in Ngannou and Stipe?
Probably Ngannou.
It's kind of hard not to like Ngannou, but yeah.
I mean, I like Stipe, but I think realistically, Ngannou's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, Miocic is a... they had a presser the other day, and Stipe was asked, are you intimidated by Ngannou? And he goes, no. And Ngannou goes, stop lying. You know, he's French.
Right.
Stop lying over there, Stipe. That probably was a terrible impersonation. But no, stop lying over there, Stipe.
No, he's gay and French.
Oh, man. Wow. Rodney Bullock downgraded to doubtful for Providence tonight. That's not good. Providence has got all kind of injury problems. Holt's out tonight, too. Andre Drummond downgraded to doubtful for Harbaugh's Pistons.
What are they ranked right now?
Pistons are, they're above 500. I think they would be in the playoffs if the season ended today.
So they're the fourth in the Eastern Conference.
Man, I wonder if your Lions are going to go after Harbaugh.
I don't know. He keeps saying he's not going to leave.
What a conflict of it. I mean, like, cause how many diehard Lions
just let
fans?
Let him coach both.
Yeah, I mean, how many diehard Lions fans are diehard Michigan fans? Yeah. I mean, so many, right?
Be a weird jump, but maybe a feasible one, really.
Yeah. All right, folks. We're going to wrap this bad boy up. We'll have guests next week. I want to go watch you hunker down, you hairy dogs. I mean, I hope Georgia's got a good crowd at Stegman. That campus should be on fire this week, except finding out that the Donald is going to be at the game. That's going to be a chafe city there. All right, Happy New Year, all. Games Galore 29 in the books. Over and out.